We will be tonight looking at Psalm 107 once again. Psalm 107. Tonight we will endeavor to get through verses 4 through 9. Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9. Let's pray and ask the Lord for His guidance and help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the privilege that You've given us to come back tonight, to be in Your house a second time, to worship You another time today. This entire day is the Lord's day, and we're grateful that we can once again come together and to corporately praise and honor and glory in You. It is a special privilege to be able to open Your Word again tonight and to read it and to look deeper into it. And we pray that You would speak to us, and God, that You would show us clearly and more clearly the goodness of God, that we may afresh see how good a God You really are. And You would chase away all of our doubts and all of our fears concerning the goodness of God. We love You and we thank You and we praise You, and we'll be grateful for what You'll do for us tonight in the name of Christ, and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man, or oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And all God's people said, Amen. We began last Sunday evening looking at the topic of discovering, not for the first time, but discovering a fresh view from the Scriptures, from Psalm 107, of the goodness of God. And in this psalm, we noticed in the first three verses that the people of God are called by God to give thanks unto God. Say that again, because I only got one amen. I thought the other day, you know, we have technology now. I have an iPad up here. They make soundboards for iPads. So I thought that I would record off the internet people saying amen. And then when I said something appropriate, I would just hit the button and it would come through the speakers. Amen. You got to do what you got to do. God's people are called by God to give thanks unto God. So it is our very calling. If we're looking for what am I called to do, one thing you're called to do is give thanks to the Lord in all things. Because God is good. And His mercy endures forever. He is good, and His loving kindness extends and endures forever. And the psalmist says that God's people who are the redeemed, those who have been redeemed, those who have been purchased by The sacrifice and the blood of Christ should communicate His goodness. God is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed say so. So it is what we should communicate to one another in church. God is good. It is what we should communicate to the lost world. God is good. And no matter what our circumstances may be, God is good all the time. Because all things are working together by the hand of God for our good. And the confirmation of God's goodness in our lives is that He has delivered us from our enemies, and He has gathered us from the four corners of the earth, and He has placed us where we can be cared for and where we can be helped. So give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And giving thanks is our calling, it's our communication, and it is confirmed in our own lives. Now, we move a step forward, because what the psalmist does next, I think, is give us four portraits or four illustrations of the goodness of God from a historical perspective. Just in case you're doubting God's goodness, let's look at how God has historically displayed His goodness. Now, here's what psychologists say, so let's just get a little relative, right? Psychologists say that past performance is the best indicator of future expectations. Say amen. So let's look at how God has operated in the past, and then we can expect an unchangeable God to operate that way in the future. And we begin by looking at verses 4 through 9. We'll only get through this. This is the goodness of God to the people of Israel during their wilderness journey. So let's unpack these verses if the Lord would let us. Let's begin by looking at the reason for the wilderness. The reason why the Jewish people are wandering in the wilderness. That is important for us to establish. Because the psalmist says they wandered. And they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. And as they wandered, they searched for a city to dwell in and could find none. And they were hungry. And they were thirsty. And their soul fainted in them. So what I want to make sure that we understand is why the children of Israel were wandering. Why they were in the wilderness. And of course, I hope you know. The reason was because of their unbelief. God told them to take the promised land, that He would go before them and He would fight their battles for them, and they doubted. And because they doubted, they wandered in the wilderness in circles for 4 decades or 40 years. And those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness were necessary because of their own stubbornness, because of their unbelief, and because of their doubts about the power of God. Or we might say the doubts about the goodness of God. I think the psalmist here picks this because they doubted God's goodness. So the wilderness journey, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, was due to their own choices and their own decisions. Right? So this is on them. So I don't think that the 40 years of running around in the wilderness was a part of God's initial plan for them. God brought them to the promised land, told them to go in and take it, and seize the land that was flowing with milk and honey, and they blinked and they balked and they doubted God. Remember, they sent 12 spies over there, and 10 spies come back with a bad report and 2 came back with a good report, and they believed the spies that came back with the bad report. Or we could put it this way, they thought they were smarter than God. They thought they had a better handle on things than God did. They thought they understood things better than God. So God let them have their own way. You don't want to go in? Circle them up then. You'll be in the wilderness for 40 years. And the consequences for their unbelief was their 40 years of wandering. Now notice in the text, the psalmist says that they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. That word solitary means a wasteland or a desert. So the wilderness, when you say wilderness, people think forest, trees. The wilderness was a wasteland, it was a desert. And while they could have been enjoying the fruit of the promised land, They wasted 40 years of their life, and most of them died. So here is 40 years of nothingness, 40 years of waste, 40 years of life in a wasteland and a desert. Then we're told they find no city to dwell in. There was no city in the wilderness. There was no city in the desert. There was no city in this wasteland to secure their survival. Because if they could find a city, they could obtain food. If they could find a city habitated by people, they could find water and shelter. But there was no gathered habitation where supplies could be obtained. They found no city to sit down and rest in. In the wilderness, they found nothing that would satisfy them. They were unsettled people in the wilderness for 40 years. And verse 5 says that what characterized their journey, what characterized their 40 years was hunger, thirst, feebleness, and discouragement. They had lost purpose, and they had lost direction. They wandered aimlessly, and they wandered directionlessly. Say amen. But what I want you to understand, and I think is important, that we make a mark here, that whatever happened in the wilderness was their fault. They were guilty. They had turned their backs upon God. They had questioned His goodness, and they got what they deserved. And I want to remind you tonight that whatever we do in our own ways, whatever we do in our own strength, whatever we do without following after God and His Word, we are really wandering from place to place. We really are just wandering from thrill to thrill. People are wandering from job to job, from marriage to marriage, from relationship to relationship, from experience to experience, without ever finding any lasting satisfaction. You just can't find satisfaction outside of Christ. And if you're a child of God, you can't find satisfaction and you can't find joy by doing things your own way. And going your own direction and being disobedient to God. We try to find that which will satisfy us. We try to find that which will give us security. But in the world, we can't. Whenever we do not follow God, we are wandering in empty places that cannot satisfy our souls. So what I want you to notice here, what I want you to write down in your Bible, they're in the wilderness 40 years, hungry, thirsty, disappointed, feeble, and it's their fault. They did this. Number two. Notice, secondly, the response in the wilderness. And there are two responses. There is the response of the Israelites, and there is the response of God. We want to examine them both. The Israelites finally get fed up. They get sick and tired of being sick and tired. They get sick and tired of being hungry. They get sick and tired of being thirsty. They get sick and tired of wandering around and wasting their lives. And I'm here to tell you, the longer they wandered, the worse it got. The longer they wandered, the more lost they became. And you know what they realized? They couldn't get themselves out of this mess. They couldn't get themselves out of wandering in the desert. If they could have, don't you think they would have before 40 years was up? And if they are going to depend on their own strength and their own intellect, if that's what they did, they'd still be walking around in circles. The mess that they had made just got messier with every passing day. So what did they finally do? Well, they did what they should have done a long time ago. They cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. They swallowed their pride and they realized that their only hope of getting out of this mess was God. The only hope of getting out of this circle of wandering in the wilderness was if God were to help them. They couldn't do it themselves. They had to admit that God was able to deliver them, that God's goodness would deliver them, and only He was good enough and able to deliver them. They had to admit that it was their stubbornness and their disobedience that had put them in this place. They had to confess that they did not know more than God knew. They really had to confess that they were really stupid. And the very God that they doubted His goodness is the very God that they had to cry out for His goodness. And then notice the most striking thing in this text to notice. God responds. And this is it. You almost just simply pass over it. It's not told in any spectacular way. It's sort of just nonchalantly, but my goodness, don't pass over it. They wandered in the wilderness in a wasteland. They found no city to dwell in. They were hungry, thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. And then they finally cried out to the Lord in trouble. They finally say, God help us! And then nonchalantly, the psalmist said, and He did! And He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. How good is God? Now listen. The Israelites should pray every single day that I'm not God. You with me? If I was God, that's not the way it would have been written. If I was God and they cried out to me after 40 years, you know what I would have said? You made your bed, now sleep in it. Or maybe this. Well, it doesn't seem like you're so smart now, does it? Or, see where your smug attitude got you? Now deal with it. Or, you turned your back on me. Now please don't expect me not to turn my back on you. That's not at all the way it went down. They were in the wilderness for 40 years because they deserved to be there because of their disobedience and their doubt of the goodness of God. And the moment they cried out to God, God delivered them. You see, I'm not God because I'm not good. But God is good. He didn't do any of the things that I would have done. He simply heard their cry and then He rescued them. How good is that? I mean, if I would have been one of the Israelites, I probably would have said, I don't even know how y'all can just call upon His name now after all that y'all have done. I tell you that right now, I wouldn't call on Him. I'd be afraid. No. Do you know He was more ready to forgive and restore than they were ready to repent? Even though they had disobeyed, even though they had questioned His goodness, even though they had been circling for 40 years, the minute they cry out to God, He comes to the rescue. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a great God. That's a good God. They didn't have to get things fixed up. They didn't have to repair nothing. They just cried out. And that's not the only time it happened. The entire history of Israel can be summarized by rebellion against God, suffering because of their rebellion, cries to God for help, and every single time God rescuing them. That's the history of Israel over and over and over again. So if you're saying, well, that was the first time, but it keeps happening, God's not. No, every single time. They kept doing the same thing. And the minute they cried out, God would send deliverance. That's a good God. And at no point did God waver. At no point did God hesitate. He rescued them and He delivered them every single time. And every single time it was their fault. And He always forgave them and He always restored them every single time. And the question is, why does God deal with His people that way? And the answer is because He deals with His people according to grace, not by what they deserve. So verse 7 says that the Lord led them forth by the straight way. How they been going? In circles. But now, He said, you directionless people, let me show you the way. Amen? Let me get you from point A to point B in a straight line. Let me take you somewhere instead of you just circling the desert. Let's end this wastefulness. Let's in these years of waste, let's get you somewhere. Let me lead you to the promised land where together I can provide for you. And what was true for the Israelites has also been true for us, hasn't it? I don't know about you, but I often think I'm smarter than God. I often think I understand this culture better than God does. I often think I know more than God until God lets me go my own way and until God lets me do it my way. And then I get tired of the trouble that I find myself in and I cry out to the Lord. And every single time He comes and forgives me and restores me. Always. It's amazing. So here's the question I have for you. Where have you marked it on your calendar the times that God has failed you? Do you have it on your calendar anywhere? Any date, any year? God failed me today. Where have you marked it that He failed to forgive you and restore you, even when it was your fault? Where do you have it recorded that you cried out to God and He did nothing? Has He not always heard your cries? And has He not always responded in grace and mercy and goodness and not according to what you deserve? You see, I would have been embarrassed to even cry out. But cry out they did. And if I was God, I would have turned my back on them, let them stew a little while. But God doesn't. Because God is good. And He always moves toward His people in goodness. Number three. The resolve of the wilderness. So, given that example historically of the Israelites and their remarkable journey in the wilderness based upon their disobedience and their doubt of God's goodness, and they cry out to God for deliverance, and God delivers them, takes them to the promised land, and puts them in a land that is full of provision. And then the psalmist says this. What do you say to that? What do you say to that historical reality? And the psalmist says this: oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So when we remember, when we think tonight, when we run through our minds tonight, the number of times and occurrences of our rebellion against God and the times that God's grace has brought deliverance, what should we be doing? Praising God. That's what we should be doing. Have you forgotten how many times you have rebelled? Have you forgotten how many times you have doubted the goodness of God? Have you forgotten the number of times that you have struck out on your own to do it your way? And when you got in a mess, you cried out to God and God came. Have you forgotten that? Then what should we do? Praise God. We should praise the Lord for His goodness and praise Him for His wonderful works. That's what we should be doing, and we don't do it enough. You've heard of fanatics? All they talk about is whatever they talk about. They're fanatical about it. You've heard about those people? We should be fanatical about the goodness of God. We should be praising the Lord for past goodness, for continued goodness, for future goodness. We should be praising the Lord that He has intervened in our times of trouble. And when we could not find our way, He showed us the way. When we could not get out of the rut, He got us out of the rut. Even when the trouble we are in is our own fault and our own rebellion, God has always been good to us. Should we not praise Him? Have you learned that it is only God who satisfies the longing soul? It is only God who fills the hungry soul with what? What does He fill our souls with? What does He fill our hunger with? His goodness. His goodness. And I think all of us tonight could say that in our darkest hour, in our deepest problems, on our dreariest day, God heard our cries, came and delivered us and forgave us for our disobedience and restored us to fellowship. How good is that? I thank God that He has not given me what I deserve. I thank God that He has not left me to my arrogant self. I thank God that He has not let me go my own way to my own destruction. I'm grateful that God has intervened in my life. He has stopped my wandering. He leads me the straight way. He provides for me and blesses me regardless of the times that I have turned my back on Him and done things my own way. I thank God He's a good God and that He satisfies me with His goodness. Why should you praise God for His goodness? Because His goodness should satisfy your soul. You ever watch TLC? You should. If you're feeling low and depressed, watch TLC. You'll feel better. Right? You will. They show 600, 700 pound people on there. They show people who hoard and have trash in their house. Anytime that Denise gets upset about how my little corner in my bedroom looks, I say, look at this! At least it doesn't look like that! I was watching the weight loss show the other day. And the girl that was on there was supposed to lose 30 pounds in a month before she went back to the doctor. And she didn't lose 30 pounds, she gained 30 pounds. And she kept doing that. And you know what she would do? She would cancel her appointment because she knew she had gained 30 pounds and she didn't want to hear what the doctor had to say. You ever feel that way when you're going to God? God knows what I've done. God knows what I thought. God knows what my heart desired. I'm ashamed to go to Him. Don't be. God doesn't speak to us and deal with us by what we deserve. He deals with us by His grace and His goodness. You know, I thought about my life. My life, sadly to say, my life is like the history of the Israelites. I rebel. I suffer because of my rebellion. I ultimately cry out to the Lord. And He is good to me. And I'm really sorry for my rebellion. I really am. But I am so thankful for His goodness. He is a saving God. He is a delivering God. He hears the cries of those in need for His help. and He helps us with the mess that our sins ourselves have made. And every one of us should praise Him for His goodness.